We're here for the Canned Geek podcast, and my name's Chris McKenna.
My name's Kyle Evans.
And do you want to explain where you've taken me today?
We're at the Melbourne Showgrounds right now. Over there, you might see someone dressed up as Squirtle. Over there, you'll see someone dressed as a Plague Doctor.
I saw someone dressed up as a Pikachu playing card from the Pokemon playing game. That was really interesting. So, where are we?
We're at Supernova.
Supernova's basically a conglomeration of different genres.
That there is the voice of the event director for Supernova, Daniel.
We've got sci-fi, fantasy, comic books, anime, manga, gaming. People who want to express themselves and enjoy those different genres come together and we have a little bit of a celebration. It's called Supernova.
So for what we want to do for this podcast, we want to bring you guys in, take you along with us and bring you amongst the aisles and the action that actually goes on at one of these Supernova conventions. We're going to be showing you some of the interviews with some of the special guests, interviews with some of the people that were there, actually filling you in on some of the ambience and having an interesting look at what it's actually like to be a fan and why they actually attend these sort of events in the first place. So how many people did you say we've got here?
We've got an estimated 15 to 16,000 people. It's been going for 10 years now. This is the fifth year in Melbourne.
So we attended the April event in Melbourne, but at the time of recording, there's actually going to be more Supernova events.
In June, we'll also be going to Sydney, which is the 10th anniversary event itself. And then the following weekend, we'll be in Perth again, which is our 50th year there. And then in Brisbane, we go up there, which is our 9th year up there in November, which will be backing off our first ever Adelaide convention. So we'll be in six cities in our 10th anniversary year and having our biggest year yet.
So what Supernova does is they bring in a lot of special guests and special attendees. They've got things like TV stars, voice actors, comic artists, comic writers.
One of the really cool people that I got to meet, one of my people who I really admire, was Scott Kurtz.
Ooh! He does the comic webcomic PvP, doesn't he?
Scott Kurtz does a lot of things. He is the godfather of what we call webcomics. He started PvP, player versus player, the webcomic series.
Yeah, my name is Scott Kurtz, and I'm a web cartoonist from the United States. And I started with my webcomic PvP in 1998. I've always wanted to be a cartoonist, but I put my comics on the web instead of going through a syndicate. It's been going, like I said, for 15 years.
Benwin Bronzebottom, Scott Kurtz!
You might also know him as Benwin Bronzebottom from the Penny Arcade Wizards of the Coast Dungeons & Dragons games, which started off as a bunch of podcasts and ended up being live shows, main events at the Penny Arcade Expo over in America.
He's Benwin of the Bronzebottom Clan!
And in the last couple years, my friend Chris Straub, who also does webcomics, he and I started a couple joint projects. One is the Blamimations, which is a kind of a monthly animated skit. And the other one was a live-action thing called the Chris and Scott Show.
Can you talk a little bit more about, like, before PvP, like, what kind of an artist were you before you, you know, essentially became the godfather of webcomics?
Well, before PvP, I was pretty much sitting at home trying to put together packages for the syndicates, and I had dreams of being in the newspaper. I also was going to college and meeting my wife and getting married, but I wasn't as serious about it. I wasn't as dedicated to it. It seemed like very much a dream more than a reality. Yeah, that's pretty much what I did pre-PvP, was just creating ideas that I could try to get syndicated in the newspaper.
I'd also just like to ask about PvP. One of the recent changes you made...
Maybe I should give you guys a preface on this. In the Player versus Player comic, Brent is the character who is the Mac-obsessed... coffee-obsessed, grumpy, snarky, but very entertaining dude. And the sunglasses have been an iconic piece of his character because he's almost never, ever, ever taken them off.
He's made a subtle change. Like, what happened in the story recently is Brent had some eye issues and, you know, saw a doctor and made him stop wearing sunglasses. They made a joke out of it that, you know, the fact that he's wearing sunglasses 24 hours a day was actually doing damage to his eyes.
He sleeps in them, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, the motivation is that Brent was growing as a character and he only had one expression. By having him wear shades all the time, you can't see his eyes. And it's very difficult for cartoonists to show expression in his characters unless you can see his eyes. So I had to come up with a reason for him to get rid of his shades.
You do like the Blamimations, and also you've got your own show with Chris here. And those are really cool and silly and stuff. But you've also done some more personal stuff. I mean, most of those appear on like DVD extras on the Penny Arcade series. But does telling personal life stories come to you as easy as like goofing off?
Oh, yeah. I love telling stories, and it's hard to get me to shut up sometimes. But no, it's 100% genuine and easy for me to share stories. So that's 100% a part of my personality. Yeah, I feel it's very important to be genuine. It's not that's who I am, and I talk too much as it is, so... I wish I could claim it was something that I fabricated as a part of my brand, but it's just who I am as a person. So it'll get me in trouble one day, if it hasn't already.
Guys, I'm dead. I will die on my next turn. It is 13.
I've never seen someone die before. Oh, my God.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I think he's really dead.
No.
It means Will can go home.
Dungeon Master.
Please, what does this mean?
So one of your other many creative efforts is your role as Binwin Bronzebottom on the D&D podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You were kind of sort of directly responsible for AFL's death. I'm really curious, have you ever had a character die?
Of course, and so is Will, and he's responsible for his own death. It wasn't me. He likes to blame me, but I did not kill AFL. He killed. He split the party.
This is where the
baby Jesus
was.
And he's sobbing.
Yeah.
What's that baby
we
Jesus?
We did get the art. I led
Scott
you to the artifact.
Scott is telling lies.
Why are you blaming his death on me?
Because you killed him. Because you killed him, I guess, is the main reason.
Have you ever had one of your characters die in D&D or otherwise?
Yeah, absolutely I have. I've been playing since junior high, and I've had one or two characters die, and it's not been fun.
So after I got done talking to Scott Kurtz, I went over to a panel room. Let's go over to this panel room over here. Let's see what's going on.
I like twist those knobs! Twist those knobs! Pull those levers!
Richard Horvitz is a voice actor. He does mostly cartoon work. You might know him as Zim of Invader Zim. You might know him as Daggett in Angry Beavers. Yes.
I love all the muscular beaver whoosh! I'm prone to craziness. So, I think I'm more Zim-like in a lot of the way I work. My characters mostly I'm hired to be that kind of over-the-top, crazy thing.
Richard Horvitz does a really good panel for two particularly awesome reasons. One, he does a lot of voices.
My favorite line of Zim was, "Grr! I was a maiden in the soul!" Worse or better? Funny like a moose, Dib. Funny like a moose. You speak crazy talk, Earth boy. Then all the intestines fall out of my mouth.
But he also trolls his audience a lot.
Really?
He had a tendency to sing.
Oh dear.
Suddenly simple is here to provide you.
You would make
don't need no.
It got to the point where people were trying to ask him questions and he'd just keep singing.
Suddenly simple is here to provide you.
And while he's doing this, people are just, like, trying to ask questions into the microphone.
Yeah, every time someone tried to ask a question.
You don't need no makeup, no need to pretend.
Okay, go
ahead.
I can wear
it
now? Oh, if you
could.
Yeah, that would happen.
Do you have any ideas what the Zim musical might be like?
That's what I would like to see, the Zim musical. It's like, let's see. Dib, at last, we see each other play, you crazy big and mean boy. Shut your noise too, Dib! That's what he would say.
Yeah, Richard Horvitz hosts a great panel. It was one of the highlights of the convention, really.
That's kind of a two-part question.
All right, let's start with the second part.
Do you ever, like, scold your kids in Invader Zim voice?
No.
Why not?
Because they don't listen to me anyway, so why waste the voice? One day, I got caught up in this. It occurred to me that here is Yoda, the great master, that can see everything. And yet, whenever he needs to see something really important, like, you know, who the Sith Lord is, his answer is always, cloudy, cloudy. How come all the important things are cloudy? Everything else, yeah, I know where you left my keys. So Ricky and I went on this whole rant about, Yoda, where did you park the car?
Cloudy.
Well, what should I wear? Cloudy. Before I even finish it, he would go, cloudy, cloudy. And so Joey just had a fit because we would not stop going,
Bowdy!
Were they thankful to make an Andy Lewis movie?
There was one time there was going to be an Andy Lewis movie because, you know, at the same time we were doing that show, they were having success with, like, the Rugrats movie, the Rugrats in Paris, and we were around at the same time. But ultimately, they found more financial success in DVD rentals and sales, so we never did a movie. I wish we would.
One of the cool things about an event like this is that you'll know a lot of people there.
Good, how are you?
Are you working here or are you?
I bumped into my good friend Steve Varley, who I went to uni with. He also stars as Felkor in the Escapist web series, Tales from the Table.
Oh! In this band was Felkor, expert archer, and kinsman to the elf.
Here's what he had to say.
But I guess we should just talk about what's today. Supernova is a really fun place. There's a lot of different people that come out and get to be in their own little environment. I got recognized yesterday for my work in Tales from the Table. It really only happens in these situations when there's lots of people that of that world, of the Dungeons and Dragons world, that enjoy that stuff. I have no idea where R2-D2 is.
Do you want me to talk about Will Wheaton and we can lead into the psychologist, actually?
Yes, that would be good. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Will Wheaton was the character Wesley Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation, yes?
Yeah, that's the one.
What's he doing these days?
Will Wheaton's career is very interesting. He's become a writer, and the reason I know a bit about his background is because he's actually become he writes nonfiction and fiction, including about his own personal life. Mm-hmm. He put out a book called Just a Geek. Oh, actually, I was going to get you to read a little bit of that, I was thinking, actually. Hey, have a look at this. Take this.
I get to do some loud reading.
Yeah. Anyway, Just a Geek is a story about his own career, how his expectations about becoming a full-time actor maybe weren't completely realized. Star Trek might have his high point and transitioning into his career as a writer. More recently, though, it's been a couple of years since that book came out, his career's gone way back up. I mean, you know, Will Wheaton is a regular as an evil version of himself on The Big Bang Theory, and he's also been on other sci-fi series like Eureka. So yeah, it's this really amazing book where he's not afraid to be vulnerable and tell stories about his career. Okay. This particular story comes at a moment of closure where Will Wheaton, he needs a little bit of money, so he puts one of his action figures, his Wesley Crusher Star Trek action figure, up on eBay to cover a bill. And this is his conversation that he has in his head with his action figure as he's, well...
This is going to make an interesting read then.
Yes.
Okay. It's late at night and the rest of my house is asleep. The only other sound than my tapping is the soft, comforting hum of the fan in my computer. The room is dark, except for the light falling off my monitor. He's sitting on my desk, just outside the monitor's soft glow, staring at me. Hey, Wesley, I've got some good news. He sighs, the perturbed yet insecure sigh of an 18-year-old. He strains his little plastic body against the twisting tie that's holding him in his cardboard backing. Yes, you're way more popular than I thought. People have bid nearly $300 for you on eBay. You're a hit, Crusher. They love you. He stops straining and looks at me, incredulous. What? Yeah, take a look. I pick him up and turn to face the monitor. Hey, slow down, jackass. You're going to give me motion sickness. I click the URL and show him the bidding, which has climbed up to nearly $300. See? Isn't that cool? All this time we thought people hated us, but they like us, Wesley. They really like us. He's silent for a moment, and when he finally speaks, his voice is thick with emotion. Yeah... That's really cool, he says. I swear I can feel the cardboard shudder a little bit in my hands. Hey, Wheaton. Yeah? Can you put me down on the desk for a while? I think I have something in my eye. You crying, Wesley? Shut up, Wheaton. When I told Wesley, all this time we thought people hated us, but they liked us, I could have said, all this time I hated you. I hated you so much. I started to hate myself, but it was time wasted. I learned to like you, and the part of me that you represent. When he cried, the tears rolled off my face. I had started out this auction as a means to an end. I just wanted to keep the water on in my house. I didn't know that it would become this enormous confrontation with one of my greatest personal demons, but when I wrote that final installment in the trilogy, I put Wesley in his place. He put me in mine. That is really cool!
Yeah, I know, right? So, I was hoping to meet Will Wheaton and get an autograph and maybe get an interview and record his panels. And as it turns out, we didn't actually get any of that. In the end, all I got to do was get him to sign my Kindle version of his book.
Thank you so much.
So the story might have ended there. But then it got me thinking about, well, why did I want to meet this guy in the first place? Didn't I get everything I wanted out of the book? Why do any of us go to these conventions to line up, to get signatures, to take photos, to spend money to essentially meet these people for very brief interactions?
At this point, we wanted to do something a little different. For you guys listening, because we've introduced you to the convention, we've introduced you to the stars and sort of what it's like being there and being a star, but the person who usually doesn't get any attention at these events is actually the attendee and maybe what's going on in their head. So
I thought I'd ask this question to a certain Professor Chamorro Premazic.
People feel the desire to meet their idols because it provides them with a lot of meaning, and who you admire, who you like, represents the person you want to be.
Now, he's a professor of business psychology at UCL in London.
Yeah, we've done actually two or three studies on it. One in the UK, one in Malaysia, and now we have one going in the US. You know, mostly the studies look at young people, so between 15 and 20. And what we find is that there are three different profiles or typologies of people who worship celebrities. The third level is the one we call borderline pathological, where people are just totally obsessed with a celebrity. This is the case where people become really very obsessed and where it could lead to other clinical disorders, basically. So the first one is, and the most normal one, is the one we called entertainment/social. So, you know, just keeping up with the news, having something to talk about when you meet your friends.
Okay, so the first level is interested, the second level is intense.
There's a second level, a second typology, which we call intense personality. So here, you focus a lot on certain celebrities, you're upset if people criticize them, and you start spending more and more time paying attention to their values. And you realize, actually, that your values are very similar to them.
But Professor Chamorro Premazic also gave the extreme example of Charlie Sheen. Like, when Charlie Sheen does something, you know, like he does, like beating women.
Should I now change my values, you know, to let them be according or in line with Charlie Sheen? Or do I stop liking Charlie Sheen?
Do you think, well, maybe I thought wrong about Charlie Sheen? Or maybe I thought wrong about women beating up women? Maybe what is more acceptable?
Like, really?
But that level is still, we call it intense personal, so it's just a little bit more involved, but still not pathological.
You might actually find it easier to re-reference your own belief system instead of having to deal with the fact that they're not as cool an idol as you thought they were.
Even if people are disappointed once they meet that person, they will be in denial because, you know, let's say, I mean, I think the clearest example would be if you're idolizing X actor and, you know, you're planning, you're working for years and waiting until you meet that actor, and then you meet that person and he's rude to you or he behaves in a very obnoxious way. People would rather deny that that is happening and be deluded and delusional and think that actually they were very busy or they were very nice or they weren't that rude and, you know, that's just, you know, they were having a bad day, let's say, than to reframe their interpretation of that person, because otherwise you just feel stupid and you feel like you've wasted 5 or 6 years on somebody who was a nasty guy.
And I can relate to this. I've had awkward experiences when Will and I have interviewed Billy West, who did the voice of, you know, Fry and many others in Futurama.
Well, you could just let that be the article. Hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing? Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I enjoy Australia.
I just, personally, I wanted to ask you, never retire, please. Just.
Oh, okay. If you do retire.
I've had very confronting experiences with Lloyd Kaufman, who's the director and producer of many of the Troma pictures.
Sex doesn't sell unless you're... What sells is a good movie. Unless you have a good movie, it doesn't sell. And if that's what you think, you are very stupid, and this interview should stop.
Oh dear.
You want these people to be as cool as they represent themselves to be in media, but unfortunately, those two concepts aren't always in alignment. I did an interview ages ago with Neil Kaplan. He does the voice of Optimus Prime in the Transformers Armada TV series.
Hi, I'm Neil Kaplan. I'm a voiceover actor. I do a lot of video games. I'm sure a lot of people out there have killed me a few times in the past.
And he talked about how, essentially, these people
go to a
are people.
And they'll have a good time meeting you, sharing a moment, you know, and they go home and go on with their lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, there are the one, two, or three different people that go on the internet and just post, oh, he was mean to me, you know, not realizing maybe I was running late for a panel and needed to get somewhere. I mean, sometimes people can have a bad day, you know, sometimes they can have a great day, but remember, they're human beings. How I deal with fans the way I wish my heroes would deal with me.
It can be a lot more exhausting than you think it is. Mm. In fact, I even talked to Scott Kurtz about this. Conventions are a mixed bag sometimes because you get to meet your fans, you get to interact, you get to sell things, but it's a lot of time away from work, and it can be kind of a grueling slog. 8 hours stuck behind the booth, saying the same things over and over. So you can get tired out pretty quickly.
What's the question that you never get asked that you always want someone to ask you?
Would you like something to drink? Can I get you a beer?
Like, by the end of this convention, you know, I'm heading to Gold Coast next week. I will be pretty hoarse. In the days that I have off, I probably won't do a lot of talking.
One of the ways we might sort of end this off with a bit of food for thought for you guys is that maybe it's not about how we deal with these idols, but more so how these idols deal with us. Because Richard Horvitz did a really, really interesting thing during his panel, which is that instead of trying to be an idol, he sort of just messed with the audience, seemed to let off a bit of steam, and just sung.
Toga made of blonde, brilliant teeth, biblical hair. Don't have to pretend silently, sing good morning, won't you? Yeah, I love that. I'll get some more head hitters and
And if this kind of event is something that appeals to you, go along to our website, cangeek.com.
There are other conventions, there are other meets, all sorts of geeky things for you guys to get onto.
Long, beautiful hair, shining.
This month, there will be two Supernova events, Sydney on June 15th to 17th, then Perth, June 22nd to 24th, before hitting Brisbane and Adelaide later this year in November.
And the website is supernova.com.au, that's supernova with an A, supernova.com.au.
My name's Kyle Evans.
My name's Chris McKenna.
Thanks for listening, guys. This has been the Canned Geek Podcast.
A home for the bees, a hive for the buzzing bees, and that's where birds right now, where the minions under the wonder of our head.
Yes.